So, if you could find out the time and date of your death, would you and why?
No. I would not, because I know myself and I would fixate on it. I wouldn't be able to play it cool. I would know and I would just fixate on it. And it, I already have enough little compulsive tics. I already have all these obsessive little OCD things that I like. That would just be the next thing that would fucking spiral me into madness. So no.
So yeah, that makes sense. All right, question number two. What emotion do you feel the most?
What emotion do I feel the most? I'm going to lose some fans here. Anger. Anger.
You won't lose any fans from that.
Yeah, probably not. I had to think about my answer. No.
The thing is, these kind of things can be like...
Yeah. I'm totally kidding. Anger. The emotion I feel the most is anger. And I've always felt that. And I'm guessing that it's something I'll always feel. Since I can remember, that's how I felt. And I think for me, the key is taking that and using it as fuel to push me forward. You know, it can drag you down, get in your way, or it can be rocket fuel, can push you forward. And I'm thankful that I have used it to push myself forward. You know, it's been rocky at times. Like, it's definitely gotten in my way. It's definitely hindered me. But I think at this point, I have it streamlined in a way where, you know, I take that emotion and I use it to be the best version of myself and, you know, take care of the people around me. And it doesn't have to be a negative. Anger can be a positive. It can drive you to make things happen, you know? Yeah, if I have one answer, anger. Dude, I don't like my angry answer.
Why not?
Because it's true, but it's also... I feel like it's hard. I feel split down the middle. Like, well, not down the middle. I feel split three ways. Like, I feel very angry a lot, but I also feel incredibly sad a lot. And I've always felt that. And then there are these moments where I'm like overloaded with joy and gratitude and happiness. I feel like, I don't know if I can go back and change my answer, but I feel like the answer for me is that as a kid, I developed coping mechanisms to deal with the things around me, and I kind of shut off feeling things, right? Like, I shut off, I close the valve on being able to feel. And then as I've gotten older and I've started to let myself feel more and more, like these things that were always under the surface, like I was always angry, I was always sad, I opened the floodgates, and now I feel everything so intense. Now as an adult, I let myself feel things, and I don't know how to close the valve again. Like, I went from feeling almost nothing to feeling so much, and I either, sometimes I'm so angry and sometimes I'm so sad, but there's other times where I'm so immensely happy. And I probably sound like a maniac to people, but I would say that I mostly feel angry and sad, like empty and alone and all these things that I think a lot more people feel than they admit. Like, I feel this deep sense of sorrow that we only get this one go round, and that I've made mistakes and I've closed doors and I've done these things that I would change if I could. I feel that maybe the most I feel that. But then there's other times where I feel so insanely happy. Like, I feel so, I look around and I'm like, dude, I drive a nice car. I have a nice house. I make more money than anyone in my family's ever made. My girlfriend is so out of my league. I've always wanted a bulldog. I have a bulldog. I built a mini ramp in the side. Yeah. Like if you looked at my life now, 15-year-old me couldn't really design it better. Other than some hiccups in my career, 15-year-old me couldn't design a cooler life for me. And so it's hard to just give that singular answer, because I feel like I feel everything so intensely that if you ask me today, I'd be like, yeah, I feel angry and sad mostly. But if you ask me tomorrow, I'd be like, dude, my life's fucking off. But I feel I'm only like, I'm always in touch with that side of me that's fucking angry and just so fucking sad. But that happiness is there too, you know?
For sure. I think that's clear anyway. It kind of goes without saying. You can see in your character that you come across as a happy guy, whether you feel that or not. But do you think that your anger and your sadness are like some of the main reasons why you're so good at fighting?
100%. Yeah, definitely.
So really the treasured emotion.
Right. They're a gift. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this before, right? So when we talk about anger, you know, you can be angry about whatever the fuck you want, you know, and it's hard for me to pinpoint what I'm so fucking angry about. You know, probably the way I grew up or some of my own shortcomings, I'm angry about a lot of things, you know. But, you know, someone was talking about my dad not being around or the domestic violence in the house or this or that or whatever, without even getting into it. You know, my relationship with my mom, whatever. But that anger is a gift, you know. Like, my dad didn't leave me anything other than that. But that's a fucking powerful gift, you know. You can let it tear you apart or you can use it as fuel. So the anger is a gift, you know, whether he realized he was giving it to me or not, you know, the anger is a gift, and the sadness is too. I don't know if that comes from the environment or just whatever's firing in my brain, you know, however the chemicals are reacting in my brain. But you know, that sadness for me is always there in some way. And sometimes it's trying to drown me, and sometimes it's just a little puddle at my feet, but it's almost always there. And that drives me to be better too. Like, I didn't feel a lot of love at one point in my life, but when I won fights, I'd get hugs from strangers. And I learned early, like, dude, nobody loves you the way they love you after you win a fight. You know, you could feel completely alone for months, but you win a fight, and even if it's only for that 5 to 10 minutes, like, you're going to have 15,000 best friends. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not to say that I had best friends. I had guys that were so close to me. They're my brothers. But it was like, I felt this void where I could never get enough. And so when you win a fight, you get all this love at once. And, the anger and the sad loneliness just for sure pushed me to be a better fighter. And I don't know if I would have been as successful as I am without it. So, you know, thankful for it. It's something that I've been working hard towards is now letting myself feel that happiness more. Right. So if like the floodgates open, and I have trouble turning it off or feeling things in moderation, you might as well mix in some good stuff in there, you know? And so I've really been trying to let myself feel all of it, not just feel intensely these couple things that drive me, but they burn, you know, let the happiness in too. If the floodgates are open, let it all come. So that's something I've been working on. And again, that's a pretty convoluted answer.
No, mate, these are amazing answers, bro.
Thank you.
Like, genuinely, these are sick answers. I hope you don't mind, because
no.
Every time you're talking, I'm just like, man, this is
no.
Event I want to ask.
All good.
But you know, how did that work? Because I can see this working in a negative and a positive way, where like you say, you know, like maybe for 2 months in your fight camp, you've been completely alone, isolated, and whatever, and then all of a sudden you have a fight, and then everyone loves you.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I don't think there's an objective, like, good or bad in it. I think it's kind of what you make it.
Right.
You know, you can go, we can talk another hour just on that question. Like, it's good when you win, and it hurts when you lose, and the thing that you have to learn if you're going to be in that position is that I had to learn for me is to not get too high with the highs and not get too low with the lows. Because if you ride the high all the way up, it's going to come back down. And when nobody loves you again, you're going to be like, it's going to be more alone than before, right? So you have to remember that these people all love me because I won this fight, but I only won the fight because I spent 2 months and now 15 years worth of 2 month camps angry and alone and keeping a very small circle, you know, and focusing on this shit and making sacrifices while other people were, you know, taking the front end pleasure. So yeah, I think it's like anything else, it's good and bad, you know, it's good when it's good and it's bad when it's bad. And for me, the trick is not getting too high with the highs, not getting too low with the lows, and keeping that neutral thinking of seeing a situation for what it really is, you know?
How hard is it to stop yourself enjoying what may possibly be one of the greatest highs in the world?
I just got the hang of it, like, recently. Yeah, like, I can't lie and be like, well, here's how I did it.
Yeah.
if you looked at my career, this is complete brutal honesty. If you looked at my career pre-UFC, I was living with a couple other fighters and some friends. We had a big party house, like five of us living there. We had parties constantly. We were a bunch of kids, kind of grew up rough, took care of each other. We're family. We were renting this big five-bedroom house. We'd throw these giant fucking parties and get fucked up and do all this stuff. It's not conducive to a good fight career. And then me and my roommate, who was another local fighter, was really good. You've probably seen UFC soon. His name's Anthony Avila. Really good fighter. Him and I would fight on the same local card. We'd win our fight, and then we'd start getting fucked up and partying and eating whatever we wanted. And then I'd wake up like a month later, and I'd be almost 190 pounds. Like, I'd be like 40 pounds overweight. I'd just be, you know what I mean? Like, hungover and feeling like shit and feeling worse than I ever felt before I won the fight, right? So, like, you went all the way up and then all the way back down, lower than you were before. And I did that, those high highs and low lows, for a couple years, man. Probably till I got to the UFC. You know, I got to the UFC at 23, so I turned pro at 19. So that's 4 years worth of feast and famine, you know, complete discipline, and then just complete binge, complete decadence, complete just drinking and fucking and eating and everything I could get my hands on. I was just like complete overindulgence, you know? And yeah, it's just not sustainable, you know? And it doesn't, it's not conducive to a healthy lifestyle. It's definitely not conducive to a healthy professional fucking career. So I'm thankful for lessons learned, you know, some of the funnest times of my life still, but I didn't get a grip on that till I was probably 23, 24 years old, you know?
Does it hurt you a little bit when you're riding that, when you're riding that high and you know you've got to have some self-control a little bit because you feel so good? Or is it now just easy because you've got a loving girlfriend who you can kind of just...
Yeah, I think the lifestyle change has helped. You know, I just bought my first home. I'm saving. I'm more cognizant of where my money's going because I want to start making. You start to see the bigger picture, and then like at 20, I thought that I knew what I was talking about, and at 30, the only difference is like now I realize I don't know what I'm talking. But I realize I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, like I didn't know what I was talking about at 20, and I still don't know what I'm talking about. But the only difference is I'm aware that even though I see more of the big picture, it's probably the size of this table, and I see like maybe this tiny piece of it. You know,
it's like GTA map that hasn't been discovered.
Right? So if you just stay in this little part, you're like, all right, cool, I got it figured out. And then you open up a little bit more and you open up a little bit more and you realize like, okay, maybe I don't have anything figured out. Like I don't, and so that awareness has helped a lot of realizing like I don't know shit. Constantly learning. Bought my house. Now I realize what real wealth looks like, and I see these guys doing real estate, and I'm gonna start to create a piece of that. And you know, I have a really healthy relationship with a beautiful person, and that brings me home and settles my ass down. And there's really nowhere else I'd rather be than just like at my house now.
That's great.
So yeah, I still party, still have fun, but it's just all, it's the awareness is different. Mm-hmm. Like the understanding, I still completely enjoy that high in the arena, walking to the green room to grab food. My coach is like, fuck, we did it. Like we just won that fight. All the hard work paid off. But I put a cap on it, right? Like you get a week to eat whatever you want. You get a week to get drunk and waste days with your friends. You get a week. And then if you're not back at the gym on that next Monday, then you're a piece of shit. Like that, I have to look myself in the mirror and do that, right? Like I have to constantly punk myself or else can't be left to my own devices. I'll just like, there's a part of me that constantly is keeping the other part of me in check, you know? And sometimes they're both going the same direction. And sometimes this one wants to be like, get self-destructive, and I gotta reel his ass back in. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, come on, let's go fucking piss it all away. And I gotta be like, no. Not the time for that. Like, not the time for that. Come on, like.
Did you have a nickname growing up at school? And if so, what was it and why?
Nickname? I think the nickname that stuck the most is just Touchy. Touchy from here, from the guys at Alpha Male, and actually from Joseph Benavidez's wife, Megan, gave me that nickname, and it stuck. But people who really know me call me Dre. Like, That's what everyone calls me. No one calls me Andre unless they don't really know me. Like, the people who really know me call me Dre. It's just what everyone calls me. The only time people call me Andre is like one of my, like my mom and my grandma when I'm in trouble. They'll say the full name and you're like, you know, you're in trouble. Or people who don't really know me, but people who know me call me Dre. That's what everybody calls me growing up.
Nice. Right. Question number 5. What's your favorite tattoo that you've got?
My favorite tattoo that I have, I don't know, dude. Probably the Grinch. I have a Grinch tattoo. Probably the Grinch or this wolf in sheep's clothing, which is one of the first ones I got that really like meant a lot to me. You get to a point of getting tattooed that you're just filling up space. That's fine. I don't give a shit what it is. But you know, when you first start getting tattooed, you're like really focused on like what it means. What does this mean to you? You're like, it doesn't matter. I'm 30. I'm covered in tattoos. I just want to not see the empty space anymore. That's what it means to me. But when you're younger and you're getting tattoos, you want everything to like have this meaning. The wolf in sheep's clothing had a lot of meaning to me, and it's done, in my opinion, done really well. So I really like that one. Sad clown is up there for me, probably. A lot of these tattoos aren't like feel good tattoos, you know, they're pretty indicative of like the places I was when I got them tattooed. And, yeah, it's a roadmap where you've been.
What moment in history stands out to you the most when you think of history? And it can be anything, sport, whatever.
Probably like U.S. forces storming the beach at Normandy. Like, that's what I think of. I think when you're like, when you just say history,
yep,
you're like black and white guys jumping out of boats, storming the beach. Like, that's what I think of. Yeah.
Okay.
Those dudes were way harder than us or any generation after us, dude. The generation of dudes just gets like softer and softer. You look at like what those dudes went through, it was just expected of you. He's like, don't have a choice. You're just like, you're a man, go fight. You know, and then now you have our generation of kids crying about like words and shit. You're like almost different species of people, dude. It's crazy.
Different mentality.
Different mentality.
Clearly, man. Have you ever been in a serious accident?
No. No, never been in a serious accident. Been in a bunch of minor ones. Mm-hmm. Been in a lot of little car accidents and weird things, but never a serious one, thank God. You know? Nope.
When are you the most happy?
I got a double answer.
Yeah.
The most fulfilled happiness I feel right after I win a fight. That moment of like the ref pulling you off and you put your hands up and you look at your coaches and everyone's screaming and the crowd is screaming and you just have this thousands of people on this same wavelength. Some people are screaming because they hate you. Some people are screaming because they love you. Your coaches are screaming because all the hard work paid off. You're screaming because you step closer to your dreams and you're just on this wavelength together. That's the happiest I am. The most content, like relaxed happy, is house party in my backyard on a bunch of mushrooms. My girlfriend's butt right in my hand sitting next to me. Friends jumping in the pool, music playing, my dog running around, just my people enjoying each other's company.
Man, that sounds amazing.
Get to come hang. It's gonna be a fun summer for sure.
I'm a bit jealous, not gonna lie. All right, number 8, I think. If you could have the answer, number 9, this is in fact. If you could have the answer to any question on earth, what would you ask?
Why did my dad leave? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No, what took him so long to go get that pack of cigarettes? No, if I could have the answer to any question, I want to say something funny and clever, but I guess I would just ask where we come from. Because I think the meaning of life, people trip on the meaning of life, but I think the meaning of life is just living. I think that's more self-evident than like what, you know, what is there intelligent design? Like, there's so many more questions to be answered, like outside of, like us living life is, that's the one I almost said, oh, what's the meaning of life? But I had to really think, like, I think that's pretty evident just to be lived. But I'm wondering, like, How did we get to this point? Is it random coincidence? Which, like, in my heart, like, I fucking can't be.
Yeah.
But then when you talk about intelligent design, you're like, yeah, I guess it would be how did we get here? How do we get here?
Yeah. Mine would be what happens after we die.
See, that's probably what I should have asked. But I'm terrified.
But we can both ask.
Yeah, yeah.
I share my answer.
That's actually a better answer.
I think that'd be...
Because I fixate on that so much. Yeah. I'm terrified of it. Yeah.
Someone said to me, and it like put it into perspective a little bit. It helped me like break down death a little bit more. But they said to me, you've already been dead and you've already experienced death.
Yeah.
Death will be exactly the same as the millions of years before you were born.
Yeah.
And it's the same.
For sure. And it still terrifies me because I'm a self-centered prick. I'm like, what do you mean? It just keeps going without me? There's no way. What, I don't even know if anything happened before I was born.
Dude.
I'm in a simulation. I want to be unplugged. Nah. Alan Watt said something similar. He said, you have to come to the realization that you're going to go to sleep and never wake up. But you've already woken up having never gone to sleep. Right? And from that, I started thinking into it, you know, and I thought about how being born, how traumatic being born must have been. Like, it must have been the most awful thing you'd ever experienced up to that point. Mm-hmm. Like, you're warm and you're cozy and it's dark, and then all of a sudden, flashing lights and fucking mechanical sounds and a guy's spanking you on the ass and you're screaming and people are passing you around and it's like completely foreign and you have like, it's this entire sensory overload and you're screaming in agony. At the time, it was probably awful. But now you look back and you think, thank God that happened. Like, thank God I went through that awful experience. It's like, how do you know when you die you won't, you've spent 80 years being alive off of a traumatic experience. How do you know, like, dying might be traumatic, but like maybe just as soon as you're getting warm and cozy and figuring things out, then it's like you're getting pushed back out again. You're like, no, fuck, I just got used to the dark. Like, you spend all this time in the light dreading the dark, right? And then you might get to the dark and just dread the light. Like, please God, let me just stay where it's warm and dark and peaceful. And then you get pushed right out of a birth canal again and you're fucking covered in God knows what and someone's spanking you and you're crying and it's bright. Like, you don't know. You don't know. You've already woken up and not gone to sleep. That's pretty terrifying to just wake up. It maybe is more terrifying to wake up having never gone to sleep than it is to go to sleep and never wake up. So that helps me reconcile it a little bit until I think about it more, and then it'll keep you up at night and I'll fucking be terrified again.
But, that's a really good answer, man. That's probably the best answer I've had from that question.
Thank you.
Okay, I know the last question. Be as harsh as you want. If you find out after this interview that I've been sent to jail, what would you assume it was for?
Take a good look at you. You're a bit of a... Well, you guys... I was going to say sketchy. You guys say dodgy. Bit of a dodgy character. Eco-terrorist. Yeah, eco-terrorist. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's nicer than the other ones I've had.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, people are judgmental cunts.